Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Whatever It Takes by Rhys Knightley, narrated by Troy Duran. He who conquers his anger has conquered an enemy. German proverb. Infinity, a U.S. Army Special Forces, Black Ops, top secret military unit that provides help, domestic and foreign, and answers only to the Secretary of Defense. Prologue. He stood still as stone, hands at his sides, eyes forward, gazing at a spot on the wall while his commander verbally ripped him a new asshole.
"Your actions caused a shitstorm," the commander growled, and then all but shouted. "This is the third altercation you've been in, Private Thorne. Your first fucking year and your jacket is a mess."
The file on the commander's desk was wrinkled from the man's fist clenched around it.
"For someone with so much potential, you'll be court-martialed out of the army before you've even begun."
Silence rang through the room after the shouting ended.
"Do you have anything to say for yourself?"
"No, sir,"
Dylan said abruptly, and it was everything he could do not to ball his fists. Fighting his temper was all he'd ever known. Nobody fucking got it, and nobody fucking cared. A brief knock sounded on the door, and then Major Liam Cobalt stepped inside. He'd never met the man, but he'd passed the officer in the hallway enough times to know who he was. He'd heard the major was moving up fast in the ranks and that he was being considered for colonel. The man also trained men for special forces. Never before had the major come into one of his commander's verbal thrashings before.
"Thank God, Liam. Perhaps you can talk some sense into this,"
the commander waved his hand at him.
"Ingrate."
Ungrateful? How the fuck was he ungrateful? Liam stalked to the table and picked up his crinkled file. Several long moments went by while the man browsed the pages. A trickle of sweat dripped down his back and more popped on his brow. Had he fucked it up so badly that they'd kick him out? Major Cobalt turned to him.
"You have a problem with authority, Private?"
"No, sir."
"You have a problem with your temper?"
Was he supposed to respond to that? Hadn't the guy just read his fucking file? He sucked in a quick breath when he was suddenly nose to nose with the major.
"Answer me," the deep commanding voice growled.
"Sir, yes, sir."
"Where's the anger come from?"
"I don't know, sir."
"Why are you so pissed off?"
"I don't know, sir."
He bit the words out.
"You don't know."
Major Cobalt stepped closer and knocked him chest to chest. He wobbled a step and then snapped back to attention.
"No, sir."
"Or maybe,"
Major Cobalt got right in his face, eye to eye.
"You don't care to share it with me."
"No, sir,"
he said between his teeth. Major Cobalt stepped back.
Now that, at least, was honest.
After a long moment, the major turned to the commander.
"What do you think?"
his commander asked.
"I'll take him."
"What?"
Dylan blurted.
"Shut your mouth,"
his commander snapped. Dylan shut his mouth. Chapter 1. Roughly 15 years later. Dylan.
"Thorne, you copy?"
"Copy."
He moved the toothpick in his mouth to the other side and lined his eye up to the scope. The team would make their move, and he and First Lieutenant River Seeger would provide cover fire. He shifted his arm from where it lay resting against a broken piece of concrete block tucked into the earth. He could hear River's toes dig into the earth not far from where he had situated himself. River was in a similar position, lying flat on the ground, under the cover of darkness and foliage, eyed to the scope of a military sniper rifle. The team was below. Last reported, they had retrieved 4 hostages and were coming out. The perps inside were dead, but there were still 3 unknown suspects roaming the property. A shadow materialized from the corner of the house below.
"South side, 200 yards, he murmured.
He released his breath and squeezed the trigger. The shadow stumbled into view and the suspect dropped to the ground as the guy's semi-automatic weapon skidded across the pavement.
"One down, 2 to go," River whispered.
"We don't have time to wait. One of the hostages is bleeding out," Captain Maddox Stone rasped.
"Copy," he said. "Go when you're ready."
Dispatch, you got that chopper waiting?
The captain barked into the comm. Copy that, Alpha Team. Sam's voice came over the mic. She gave the team a sense of normalcy, reminding them that home was waiting. His unit came out of the house and turned left. Hunched over, in formation, they had a hostage between each team member's body, providing what cover they could with the body armor they wore. The hostages were embassy workers, civilians. Rumors had started a week ago of an embassy takeover, and after the 2019 attack on the U.S. Embassy in Baghdad, Iraq, the Secretary of Defense hadn't taken any chances. The hostiles had already infiltrated the building by the time his unit had arrived, but the perps hadn't been inside long enough to kill anyone. The Secretary of Defense sent in the best of the best, his Special Forces unit known as Infinity. "Get in, get out, bring the staff home," the SOD had ordered. Infinity did what they did best and would get the job done. A loud siren filled the air, and on the north side of the house, lights flashed.
"Cat's out of the bag," he grunted and lunged upward.
Snatching his rifle, he jumped down the steep incline with River on his ass. They raced through the dark trees toward the team. Gunfire erupted and perps started shouting. Dylan ran faster, blood pumping, his eyes peeled for anything in his way that could possibly stop him from reaching their unit. Ahead of them was the tail end of his team. Blade always took up the rear when she was covering their asses from afar, otherwise that was his job. He had no doubt that if something were to happen to him, she'd get the job done. She was one badass motherfucker, and a hell of a soldier.
"Base, we may need reinforcements," Maddox grunted into the mic.
"Roger that, Alpha Team."
Sam's calm voice came over the mic. A shadow lunged out and Blade ducked, coming up with her knife, but the guy had a gun. Dylan put two in the fucker's chest and then leaped over the dead body. It was all done without stopping, and the three of them ran to close the widening gap between them and the team. Captain Maddox Stone set a brutal pace, but River easily caught up to the guy. River made it his mission to watch Maddox's flank like he owned it, which he did, because they were a couple. Dylan spun and took up the rear, and Blade hurried to help one of the hostages pick up the pace. She wrapped her arm around the woman's waist and half-carried her forward. They moved silently except for the hostages. There was no way to keep them quiet. In another minute, the chopper came into view, but the noise on their six was growing, and Dylan knew it was only a matter of time before the perps would reach them. The unit started lifting people into the rescue hawk. Dylan turned and faced the way they'd come and dropped to one knee. He lifted his weapon to his shoulder and aimed the scope at the line of trees. He put one into the first perp that stepped into the clearing brandishing a rifle. Five more followed, but then there were too many to count. Bullets hit the dirt and grass flew into the air nearby. He settled his breathing as he continued firing at the edge of the trees. He'd take out as many of them as possible before he left this earth.
"Dylan, fall back!"
Maddox snapped out the order. He didn't hesitate. He sent several more rounds toward the trees and lunged to his feet. Racing toward the chopper, he kept firing. Ethan and Blade stepped up to provide him cover. The enemy kept coming out of the trees. Suddenly, the roar of an RAH Comanche helo lifted above their heads and sent a barrage of gunfire into the perps and tree line. He hadn't even heard the fucking thing approaching. Trees splintered under the impact of the helo's weapon, and the enemy fell. Dylan leaped into the rescue chopper and grabbed a strap. The rescue hawk lifted into the air as the Comanche provided cover fire. Dylan watched the scene below them for as long as he could before the bird was up and lunging away. Once they were at a safe distance, he sat back with a hard thud and jerked down his infrared goggles and unsnapped the strap of his helmet. Resting his head against the metal, he drew his sleeve across the sweat dripping down his face. In front of him sat Blade, who gave him a crooked smile and mouthed,
"Close one."
His silent agreement was a thumbs up.
"Thanks for the extra firepower, Sam,"
Maddox's voice came over the mic.
"It was the colonel's call,"
she informed them, but they all heard the relief in her voice. There was a brief moment of silence, and then Colonel Liam Cobalt came on the mic.
"Captain, get your team back ASAP. I have an assignment closer to home,"
the colonel ordered.
"Roger that, sir."
Closer to home? They'd only ever done that a few times in the years since he'd joined the unit. Once had been just a few months earlier when he and a few of Infinity had been tasked with keeping retired General Luke Rhine safe at his expensive Southern California estate. The man got into more trouble than any person he knew, and he'd bet money that this closer-to-home order had something to do with the general. Dylan clenched his teeth. He hated babysitting. Chapter 2. Top Secret Meeting, Undisclosed Location. Luke.
"Who do you think it is?" Colonel Liam Cobalt snapped at him.
"I don't know," Luke responded calmly.
"What about Monterey?"
Dave asked.
"Monterey is behind bars,"
Luke shook his head.
"And you put him there?"
Dave squinted at him. It was true. He'd set up a sting that had ultimately resulted in the arrest of nightclub owner Kevin Monterey. The man was now up on charges of sex trafficking and drug running.
"Monterey has enough resources and money to instigate an attack of this size,"
Liam responded.
"What's the sense in that?"
Luke rubbed the stubble at his jaw.
"Maybe he wants revenge. Who the hell knows?"
Liam looked just as frustrated as Dave.
"What do you think?"
Luke turned back to Dave. Dave, who'd been the Secretary of Defense for the past 6 years, was his best friend. The man had flown in secretly to attend this meeting.
"I don't like it,"
Dave admitted, his face carved in granite.
"Where are you headed?"
Liam asked him. "Dave's place, for golf. Nobody was supposed to know." He held Liam's gaze.
"Fuck,"
Dave grimaced.
"You think they went after Luke to get at you?"
Liam turned on Dave.
"I don't know what to think,"
Dave snapped. "Don't strain your brain," Luke smirked. Dave squinted at him, but the side of the man's mouth quirked.
"Smartass."
He huffed and took a sip of his drink.
"Some things never change,"
Liam added.
"You'd both fall over from shock if I ever changed," he offered.
It was his easygoing nature combined with his ability to get shit done that got them out of most of the trouble they'd gotten into in the military. They were brothers in arms, his best friends. Liam and Dave were the only two people on Earth who treated him normally, instead of like a general. A cough near the door drew Luke's gaze, and he ran his eyes over the 5 fully geared Infinity Special Forces soldiers with semi-automatic rifles in their grasps. Beyond the soldiers stood the Secretary of Defense's Secret Service and Protection Detail. All of them stood alert, barely moving, quiet, except for the one who'd coughed. His eyes lingered on one of the soldiers, the badass one he'd met at a retirement party a few months earlier, Dylan Thorne. The soldier, along with Oliver and Blade, had assisted him with a behind-the-scenes sting operation that helped arrest a crooked governor. Governor Van Vorst had shot and killed a dirty CPS agent, a fucking mess all the way around. The 3 Infinity soldiers had also assisted with apprehending Kevin Monterey. Thank God that sting and arrest had gone off without a hitch. Monterey now sat behind bars awaiting trial without bail. So that meant it probably wasn't Monterey who had made the attempt on his life.
"What about Governor Van Vorst?"
Liam frowned.
"He never knew any of us were involved in his arrest. He'd made sure of it."
"That you know of," Liam responded. He doubted that Van Vorst had figured out he worked behind the scenes of a sting carried out by the local authorities.
"Check him out, then,"
he told Liam, and then squinted at Dave. He had been on his way to meet up with Dave.
"Is someone out to get you through me?"
Luke turned on his friend.
"I don't fucking know,"
Dave groused. The SOD hadn't made any attempt to keep his voice low. After all, the Infinity soldiers in the doorway had been handpicked by Dave or Liam.
"Any threats lately?"
Luke asked.
"No more than usual,"
Dave responded.
"What do we do now?"
He held first Liam's and then Dave's gaze.
"Protection detail,"
Dave growled at him before turning to Liam.
"I'm on it,"
Colonel Liam Cobalt responded, tugging out his cell phone.
"Oh, come on,"
Luke cajoled.
"Don't come on me,"
Dave warned him with a dark look.
"Do you know how many bullet holes are in that chopper?"
"How many?" he asked, because he really didn't know. All he knew was that they'd been hit and the pilot had said they needed to land. His palm still stung from where he'd gripped the handle near the door. His back ached at his spine from the crack to the asphalt. They hadn't crashed, but the pilot had called it a hard landing.
Whatever they wanted to call it, he was glad to still be breathing.
16, Luke. 16 fucking bullet holes, Dave snapped and then turned to Liam. How's it looking on the ground?
Liam cupped his hand over the phone and said,
They found the shell casings of 50 BMG rounds, but so far no other evidence. Jag is still working the scene.
Till we find out who the hell did this, I want protection detail for Luke, Dave ordered.
I'll beef up security at the estate, Luke interjected with a frown.
His California residents could use a few more security personnel anyway.
I want Infinity on this, Dave countered.
Are you kidding me? A special forces unit as a protection detail? It was one thing to use them for a sting op, but to watch his ass?
Dave gave him a flat stare. They sat like that, eye to eye, until Luke realized it would be futile to argue.
All right, but only a few, he reluctantly growled.
Dave turned to Liam.
Make it happen.
Luke plopped down into the deep leather chair next to Dave as Liam tucked his phone away and approached the group in the doorway. Luke's spirits picked up when Liam pointed to all three in the doorway. Dave lifted the bottle of whiskey on the small table that sat between the chairs and splashed more whiskey in his empty shot glass. When Dave held it out, Luke gratefully took it.
I'll take the extra protection while I'm in the city, but I have my own protection detail at the ranch, and I'll need a protection detail for my son.
The booze warmed his gut.
Deal. But I want at least one Infinity to be with you at the ranch, Dave countered.
I want to pick which one.
Dave quirked an eyebrow at him.
No, you'll have Staff Sergeant Dylan Thorne. He won't fall for your nonchalant attitude when it comes to your own safety.
Great, he grumbled into his drink, hiding his smile.
Chapter 3 Dylan. He stood squarely in front of the speed bag and smacked it with the side of his fist to get the bag moving. After a few seconds, he hit it with his other fist and then both, alternating until he achieved the rhythm he wanted. After another few moments, he bounced on his toes and picked up the pace, setting a brutal rhythm until sweat trickled down his back. About 3 minutes in, he eased on his pace and then gave the bag one last smack before he finished. He loved the speed bag because he didn't need to think. The shit in his head went quiet for those 3 minutes of bliss. This really wasn't like any other mission. On the one hand, he fucking loved it, but on the other, it irritated the hell out of him. He'd thought he'd seen the last of General Luke Ryan after the last mission to assist the guy, but he'd been mistaken. Tugging his t-shirt from his back pocket, he wiped the sweat from his face and upper chest before tucking it away. Snatching up his water bottle from the floor, he chugged it down between sucking in air. The barn was quiet with the occasional snort of a few horses, accompanied by the distant sound of cattle through the open door. General Luke Ryan's ranch sat just outside of Phoenix, Arizona. It wasn't a working ranch and didn't need livestock to keep it afloat, because Luke had enough money to keep it going without any additional revenue. Most of the animals there were retired. One thing he'd learned about Luke in the month since he'd come to the ranch was that the man had one of the biggest hearts he'd ever seen. Almost weekly, rescue animals arrived, from chickens to zoo animals and everything in between. A few weeks ago, they'd received an injured and starved llama. Luke kept the ranch for the pure pleasure of retiring rescue animals, and if truth be told, Dylan fucking loved it. His soul thrived every time they came to stay at the ranch. This place was way better than the estate that Luke owned in Bel Air, California. He'd honestly never been around someone with so much money until he'd met Colonel Liam Cobalt. The colonel was what he called filthy rich. Luke Ryan was the same, but even though he came from old money, he didn't lord it over others. The guy had to be hovering around the top 1%, so very different from his own upbringing. After his father died, Dylan had become a latchkey kid at the age of 12. At that point in time, he'd been in charge of taking care of his younger brother while their hard-working mother held down two jobs so they wouldn't get kicked out of their rundown apartment. He'd dreamed of living on a ranch when he was a boy. Something about the animals, the air, and the quietness of it all had drawn him in from the first moment he'd stepped onto a farm. His best friend had spent the summers on a family farm and had taken him along. He smiled, thinking of his childhood friend, Beckett, who had inherited the farm and his dad's collection of mismatched animals. Still, to this very day, and when he took military R&R, Dylan tried to spend a few weeks in Texas. Last year, for the first time in a long time, his brother had tagged along. He tugged his cell out and checked his phone. So far, Isaac hadn't returned his call. He wasn't worried yet. Snatching up a shovel, he made quick work of emptying the stalls. Dumping the last shovelful of manure into the wheelbarrow, he backed out of the stall and dumped the barrel's contents into the heap out back before he cleaned and put away the tools. Luke's ranch foreman, John Jane, JJ for short, waved from a distance as the man went about feeding the animals. Dylan waved back and headed around the barn. Walking toward the massive ranch-style home, he spotted the general on the porch. Luke was nursing a mug of coffee in one hand, and with the other, doodling on a piece of napkin with a pencil. As he drew closer, he realized it was an unfolded piece of paper. The pencil brushed against the whiteness, and he imagined Luke was drawing an animal. The man's eyes lifted and locked on him. And just that fast, the paper and pencil disappeared into Luke's shirt pocket just as he reached the porch. He was dying to get a closer look at the sketches, but Luke was careful to keep them tucked away. Pulling his shirt from his back pocket, Dylan wiped the sweat from his chest, watching as Luke's eyes followed the movement. Damn the man and his penetrating stare. While relatively quiet, soft-spoken, and somewhat easygoing, Luke gave off a powerful vibe. Authority clung to him. He figured it came from having been a general in the army until a year ago. "Morning," Luke drawled. Dylan scowled. That sexy-as-fuck drawl damn well hadn't been there when they were in the city. Luke spoke differently when he was at his California estate, almost as if he slid on another persona. Not around here, though. At the ranch was where Dylan suspected the real Luke came out. "Good morning." He stepped up on the porch, and surprise had him reaching for the cup Luke handed him. He hadn't seen the extra mug. "It's dark roasted, just like you like." He choked, taking his first sip, just sucked it down the wrong pipe. "Okay." Luke stepped up and patted his back. "Yeah," he said roughly and stepped away. He kept moving toward one of the wide wooden chairs that sat on the massive, covered porch and put as much space as possible between them. The coffee was good. Really good. Luke must have overheard him bitching about the weak coffee they kept in the dining room. Not that Luke drank it. The general stuck to decaf, and Dylan often wondered how the guy could stand that crap. "I'd Marge pick up some on her monthly run." Dylan grunted. In secret, though, he was pleased. He really liked Luke's outspoken assistant. Marge called herself the ranch housekeeper and cook, but she was so much more. The 50-something woman literally kept the general's life in order. Luke settled into the chair next to him, and Dylan found himself shifting about with his t-shirt fisted in his lap. He should have put it on. From the edge of his vision, he noticed that Luke was watching him, like running his eyes over his bare chest watching. Dylan turned his hard gaze on Luke, but the man just smiled slightly and turned to look out over the porch railing. Dylan set his mug down, yanked his t-shirt over his head, and pulled it down to cover his chest and torso. He lifted the cup back up and blew on the hot brew before taking a sip. From the corner of his eye, he carefully ran his gaze over the general. The cut of his shoulders, the perfectly trimmed mustache and beard along his jaw. It was the same brown as his windswept hair, and both held a tiny touch of gray that wasn't really noticeable unless someone looked closely. So he looked what? Luke was 49, and in a hell of a lot better shape than men half his age. "Thanks for helping JJ out," Luke murmured. Dylan yanked his gaze away from Luke and focused on the yard. "Like I told you, it's no problem." It was the same old thing. Luke thanking him repeatedly over the past several weeks. He cracked his neck and took another sip of coffee. Helping out really wasn't a hardship. Luke turned and smiled slightly. "Well, I pre..." Dylan's cell phone rang, cutting off the man's words. "Excuse me," he said when Colonel Liam Cobalt's name flashed on the screen. Stepping down the steps of the porch, he walked until he was out of hearing range from the general.
Colonel? All good?
Liam asked.
It was a quiet night. General Ryan has business in the city today. We'll be leaving here in a few hours. His meeting is for later this afternoon.
They'd use one of General Ryan's helicopters to travel the 300-and-some-odd miles to Bel Air, California.
You playing nice?
Why?
You have yet to talk to me about that incident report I received. Oh, about 7 weeks ago.
Silence. Liam sighed.
I've been on ops, he grumbled. Not all of the time.
Silence reigned again.
Okay, I'll start. Why'd you lose your temper? It's my M.O.
He ran a hand over his shorn head. He could only hope Liam hadn't heard the irritation in his voice. Of course he'd heard it. After all, the man knew him well.
Dylan,
Liam rasped. He stayed silent because, what could he say? The motherfucker had it coming. He lightly brushed a hand over the area on his head where the stitches had recently come out. He heard papers rustling.
There was blood. He deserved it. The guy was bullying his wife in a fucking bar and gave her a bruised lip.
Liam sighed.
You can't save everybody, Dylan. Tell me you wouldn't have punched him in the mouth yourself.
Liam grunted. Silence again.
You find something at the ranch to de-stress?
I have. The stress bag was new, and he sent a silent thank you to his brother. He was glad he'd taken the time to put it up in the barn last week. He should have done something like it when he'd first arrived at the ranch, but better late than never.
So,
Liam changed the topic.
I swapped out Blade. You'll find Pia and Oliver at the estate when you arrive.
Yes, sir.
Have you talked to Isaac?
Not since last week.
Why?
He frowned.
If you talk to him, have him call me.
I will. He ran a hand over his head and gazed out at the horizon, not really seeing it. Isaac was currently on military leave. It had been several months since the stabbing that had wounded his younger brother, and Isaac had yet to return to active duty. He pressed his lips together, remembering how evasive Isaac had been during their last conversation. His brother was up for re-enlistment and wasn't sure if he'd return or not. Rather than push, Dylan had eased off. There were just some things a man had to decide on his own.
Is he recovering nicely? Liam probed. That's what he said.
The silence stretched between them until finally Liam broke it.
I'm going to talk Luke into allowing more protection at the ranch. Good luck.
He scratched at the stubble on his jaw.
I'm going to try.
Let me talk to him, Liam growled, and then he threw in as an afterthought,
and be nice.
Dylan snorted and turned, heading back to the porch. He found Luke's gaze tracking him, and his mouth went dry. Handing the phone to Luke, he headed into the house. He didn't have time to decipher Luke's expression. He was more concerned about his brother. Isaac was holding something back. As soon as Luke gave him back his phone, he'd send his brother another text. If he pushed hard enough, Isaac would talk. From the day Isaac was born, his brother had been the only constant in his life. They shared a bond that could never be broken. The air-conditioned coolness was welcoming, and he took a deep breath. The sound of Luke's deep voice on the phone with the colonel came through the closed front door. Not the exact words, but the refusal in Luke's tone could clearly be heard. He could have told Liam to save his breath. Luke was too stubborn to have more military on his ranch, which was strange since the guy was retired army. But Luke had told him there was enough protection with his ranch's security team. Feeling like an eavesdropper, he stalked down the hallway. It wasn't any of his business, and soon it wouldn't matter to him anyway because the next opportunity he got, he was going to ask Colonel Cobalt for a transfer. Not right now, though. First, he had to get Luke safely to that California meeting. He didn't trust anyone else to get the job done. Chapter 4 Luke.
You want the bad news or the good news first?
Liam asked. Luke settled back in his chair when his view of Dylan was cut off by the closing of the front door.
Bad news? We finally got in to talk to Kevin Monterey. 4 weeks later? It's about damn time. Hey, this shit takes time. Anyway, he denies ordering the attack on the helicopter. He said he didn't have anything to do with it.
All right. Why is that bad news?
Because of this, we have no idea of who it could be. He gazed out at the horizon. What do we do now? I'll tell you the same thing I just told Dylan.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?